alava givarari. Govindana vallava givarari. Yashoda Nandana Rajadana Randana Yashoda Nandana Rajadana Randana Damuna Tiravo Vanakari Damana Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivartika Charyashti Tira Satashi Shimad Chidandi Goswami Shile Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivartika Charyashti Tira Satashi Shimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Sarasati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai. Jumur Mayi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai, jai, jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So first I want to thank everyone for the wonderful presence of Srila Prabhupada's movement here in Melbourne. It's a great privilege to visit and be with you, and I take your I beg your blessings that I may speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. I know many of you probably be I know there's a retreat going on right now, and His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu is conducting, and so I press many of you would rather be there, but you're here, and I thank you. I know he's going to speak again tomorrow, so I'm kind of the fill-in in between. So we're going to continue from the topic that we were with yesterday in the seventh canto, the 15th chapter. Now we're on two verses, 43 and 44. And I hope you can see it on this board. We'll try to do this. Rago dveshascha lobascha. Shoka mohau bhayam madaha. Mano vamano suyacha. Maya hingsa cha matsara. Raja pramada chunnidra. Shatravastveva madaya. Rajastama prakritaya. Sattva prakritaya kvachit. Rago dveshascha lobascha. Shoka mohau bhayam madha. Mano vamano suyacha. Maya hingsa cha matsara. Raja pramada chunidra. Satravastvevamadayah. Rajastama prakritaya. Satva prakritaya kvajit. Others? Anyone like to try? Rago deshascha lobascha. Shoka moho bhayam mada. Mano vamano suyacha. Maya hingsa cha matsara. Raja pramada kshunditra. Satravastveva madaya. Rajastama prakritaya. Satva prakritaya kvajit. Ladies? Rago dveshascha lobhascha. Shoka moho bhayam mada. Mano vamano suyacha. Maya hingsa cha matsara.
Raja pramada sunnidra.
Raja pramada chunnidra. Satravastveva madaya. Rajastama kritaya. Rajastama kritaya. Satva prakritaya kvajit. Raga, attachment. Dvesha, hostility. Cha, also. Lobha, greed. Cha, also. Shoka, lamentation. Moha, illusion. Bhayam, fear. Madaha, madness. Manaha, false prestige. Avamanaha, insult. Asuya, finding fault with others. Cha, also. Maya, deception. Hingsa, envy. Cha, also. Matsara, intolerance. Rajaha, passion. Pramadaha, bewilderment. Chut, hunger. Nidra, sleep. Shatrava, enemies. To, indeed. Evam adaya, even other such conceptions of life. Rajatamaha, because of the conception of passion and ignorance. Prakritaya, causes. Sattva, because of the conception of goodness. prakritayaha, causes, kvachit, sometimes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the conditioned stage, one's conceptions of life are sometimes polluted by passion and ignorance, which are exhibited by attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. All of these are enemies. Sometimes, one's conceptions are also polluted by goodness. Purport. The actual aim of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. But there are many hindrances created by the three modes of material nature, sometimes by a combination of rajoguna and tamoguna, the mode of passion and ignorance, and sometimes by the mode of goodness. In the material world, even if one is a philanthropist, a nationalist, and a good man, according to materialistic estimations, these conceptions of life form a hindrance to spiritual advancement. How much more of a hindrance, then, are hostility, greed, illusion, lamentation, and too much attachment to material enjoyment? To progress toward the target of Vishnu, which is our real self-interest, one must become very powerful in conquering these various hindrances or enemies. In other words, one should not be attached to being a good man or a bad man in this material world. In this material world, so-called goodness and badness are the same because they consist of the three modes of material nature. One must transcend this material nature. Even the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies consist of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, Krishna advised Arjuna, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvanvo Nitya Satvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. Quote, the Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. Bhagavad Gita 2:45. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Urdvam gachanti satvastha. If one becomes a very good person, in other words, if one is in the mode of goodness, he may be elevated to the higher planetary systems. Similarly, if one is infected by rajoguna and tamoguna, he may remain in this world or go down to the animal kingdom. But all of these situations are hindrances on the path of spiritual salvation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. If one is fortunate enough to transcend all this so-called goodness and badness and come to the platform of devotional service by the mercy of Krishna and the Guru, his life becomes successful. In this regard,
One must be very bold so that he can conquer these enemies of Krishna consciousness. Not caring for the good and bad of this material world, one must boldly propagate Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Om Agyanata Mrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankalan Kayate Kareem Jat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Kurun Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanishram. So I am now boldly going to attempt to say something about these verses. It is only out of boldness that I can do this, because I have no qualification. And I think what I'd like to do today is especially talk about this boldness. But before that, I want to just reflect how appropriate it is that today the verse lists out qualities that I can vouch for having plenty of experience with. Yesterday's verse was very appropriate for the saintly Burijan Prabhu, and today's verse is very appropriate for the fallen Pancharatna Das, who has plenty of experience with attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and, well, I have a lot of experience with sleep. And all of these are enemies. And Srila Prabhupada is saying that we have to boldly, he says one must become very powerful. One must become very powerful in conquering these various hindrances or enemies. What is the opposite of boldness? Anyone want to venture? Cowardice? Timid. Weakness, perhaps fear is a element. When we confront the reality of our lives, that itself is an act of a little boldness. It's so much easier, isn't it, to just go along, to just keep going in our routines, in our habits, even when we can see how destructive they are. It's still so easy to just keep doing what we've been doing, out of habit, out of the force of, as described here, the modes of nature. These modes of nature that swirl around us, that permeate everything in this world. These forces that juggle the world's activities are juggling our minds at every moment. And we get pulled in. And it's so much easier just to go along. So the first act of boldness, the first courage, the first step in courage is to enter the arena. There is a famous quote that I'll share with you. From Teddy Roosevelt,
who knows who is Teddy Roosevelt? I don't know. You're all Australians, but you perhaps heard of him. He was president of the U.S. in the early 19th century, anyway, he, after his presidency, he gave this a speech in Paris, and he's quoted like this: "It is not the critic who counts, nor the man who points out how the strong man stumbles." Note the fault-finding, envy, etc., or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. This verse, this quote, I discovered at the, you know how sometimes in devotees in their email they have a little signature that contains something? So this is in the signature of a godbrother of mine, Hansarupa Prabhu. He includes this in his. And I suggest that Srila Prabhupada has demonstrated this boldness, this into the arena. This is the first step. We have to be willing to exit, to go through that doorway that is presented by the acharyas, by Krishna himself. He gives us a doorway. Here we are in this material world, sometimes quite comfortable. In this verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, and in the verse, it states how that it's not only the modes of passion and ignorance which keep us bound up. The mode of goodness also can keep us bound up, because it gives us a sense of comfort. We're comfortable when we're blessed by goodness. We feel comfortable in this world. We think we're good. We think and we feel that we're well situated, good people. And I noted this in my own father. He was very much an altruist. He was a scientist. He could have made much, much more money by going to work for the drug companies, because he was an expert in his field. But he chose to work in a university where he had more opportunity for research and for clinical work and for working with people. I could see he had this strong, he was generous, and all the qualities that we think of in a good person: generous and kind and good-hearted and loving and so on. But if I ever tried to talk a little bit about the ultimate purpose of life, I'd like to ever talk about, well, what about the supreme truth? I could see in him fear. I could see a fear arise. I can't go there. I'm comfortable. That was his response. I'm comfortable with my beliefs and my system. I've worked it out, and I'm quite comfortable in how I've adjusted to this world. I don't want to change. I don't want to explore something, to think about maybe there's something more. Now, it's in one sense because it's unknown. It's so much easier just to sit back and just let life go on. But to take that step takes some courage. I applaud all of you. You have courageously stepped a little bit out of your comfort zone to begin to explore spiritual life, the mysterious spiritual life, so far beyond our experience here. So this is the first step. And we have to build on that. I was reminded here when listing these different qualities of the enemies of the soul, ignorance and hostility and envy. And I thought about the process, the bold process that we have to follow. And part of that is to be able to look at ourselves and examine ourselves and see where these things are in ourselves. That's another bold step. It takes some courage to be able to open up and look. It means to accept what's noted in vulnerability, to become vulnerable, to accept vulnerability, because you know that once you start looking at yourself in this way, opening yourself up to examining yourself, seeing where do I have these things, where's my attachments, where's my shortcoming, my fault finding, my false prestige, all of the things that are listed. When we start to examine and look for them and begin to recognize them, because these are not external enemies. These are not enemies out there that we can identify and, you know, go to battle with. These are enemies within ourselves. Right within our very, right within everything that we think we are. We've all developed a sense of identity. And when we start to look at that identity that we've created, and we start to examine it truthfully, vulnerability, willing to be hurt by what we see, being willing to accept the pain that will come when we actually see what we are in this world. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. We can do so many things to decorate our bodies and to make ourselves look nice in the mirror. But when we turn that mirror inward and we see what's in our hearts, if we're truthful, if we're honest, willing, vulnerable, willing to take the pain of seeing ourselves who we are. Maybe some of you have some familiarity with people who have really fallen into the modes of nature and have become addicted in some way. And how many of you are familiar with the 12-step program? You have some familiarity. So the 12-step program is a program of courage and boldness. The courage, the beginning of that boldness is to look at yourself and admit to yourself. All of us have to, when we look, we have to admit that we are in Maya. We are, and not only that, we are helpless. to conquer that Maya on our own. This is the first step, to recognize, and to recognize that it's not pretty. It's not who we want to be. It's not actually even, because it's not actually who we are. And then we have to surrender, submit to a higher power. That's the second of the 12 steps. And the third of those 12 steps is to make an inventory of all the stuff that we have to deal with. The things we've dealt in the 12-step program, it is especially to reflect on all the things that we've done to hurt that have hurt others or hurt ourselves, and contemplate how to make amends. But in our program, our 12 steps, which is similar, we have to take this inventory. We have to look inside who we are and be bold to confront those things and get the power to overcome. Now, where will that power come from? Where will we get the power? We need power, but our power is insufficient. We don't have enough power to overcome these things. So we have to have the mercy of Guru and Krishna. This verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes, Brahmanda Brimite. Brahmanda Brimite. Carried by the modes of nature, we are wandering in this universe, up and down. Sometimes in goodness we go up, and in passion and ignorance we go down, but up or down, like the previous verse, the wheel of time, or the wheel of the chariot is up and down. Good, it is sometimes religion, sometimes irreligion. So thus we go up, we go down. We're wandering. But Guru Krishna Prasad Hai Pai, Bhagyavan Jeev, was it Brahmande Brahmaiti Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, out of good fortune, we get the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And now we have some power. Now Krishna's own power. Actually, it is, we understand that it is Baladev especially. Krishna's manifestation is Balaram. Bala, Prabhupada speaks of this, that Bala, spiritual strength. We need spiritual strength. And Baladev gives us that strength to overcome these qualities. So this is the beginning of our boldness. This is the beginning of our courage to accept the path of Krishna consciousness, to walk through that door. I'll tell you, my own spiritual journey really began, I feel, when, it's interesting. I would say that the beginning of my sort of spiritual quest took place when I was like 15 years old. And perhaps like many of you, I was in discussion with one friend, and we started getting into this a mind game that maybe many of you have played, where you think, well, how do I know that anything is real beyond me? How many have any of you gone into that kind of mind game? How do I know? I mean, it could all be just my own mental creation. Everything I see, everything I'm experiencing. I mean, how do I know? Right. So this friend and I were you know, getting kind of, how would you say, freaked. We were getting weird on this thought pattern. And it stuck with me. And I, for the next like 1 or 2 weeks, I was I was looking around. I was, and how do you know? What's this? How can you find out? What's the way to find out? And in my 15-year-old mind, I was thinking, well, the only way I could actually find out is I would have to die. I mean, you know, then it would all get revealed, right? I mean, what? So this weird 15-year-old mind was thinking like this, and just somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, I think, when I looked around at everyone walking around, something switched, and I said, wait a minute, we're all the same. They do exist, you exist, everyone does it. It's like I'm thinking, and you're also, and I had some just sense that no, I wasn't alone. I wasn't the only, I wasn't God. But that was kind of, so that opened me up to some thoughtfulness. But what really struck me once is it wasn't really a friend, but just somebody I encountered who began to, he was a follower of Jesus, and he was talking to me about Jesus. And he quoted a verse from the Bible, which I'd have to look up exactly. I think most of you do not have Christian upbringing, but some of you do. You probably had some Christian background. And I'm sure Ganga is a good Catholic, right? You're probably, yeah. So there's a verse, and if any of you knows how it goes, it basically goes that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to righteousness and life. And few are those who go through that gate. There's a famous book that maybe even some of you in Indian background, Paul Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Any of you? Anyway, the metaphor, it's all a metaphor. And there's the gate, I can't remember the name of the gate, but there's a gate that one goes through. So I heard this, and then I found myself in a subway station in Boston and looking around and just observing people rushing this way and that way and rushing and going. And I said, yes, they're in this broad path. Where's the narrow one? Where's the other path? So you here have done that too. You've all observed. You've taken stock. You've looked around at the world, and you've seen this, how this whole so-called civilization is just marching down a road for destruction, for just a waste of life. And you've sought that exit. Is it not? How do I get out? Where's the door? Now, the choice to go through that door, this is your first act of courage, that boldness. But now Srila Prabhupada is asking us to go further. What does he say? He says, in this regard, one must be very bold so that he can conquer these enemies of Krishna consciousness. So that's our next bold that we have to confront. We have to be willing to confront the enemies within. Get power from Balaram and deal with them. We can't ignore them. When we see them, we have to confront them. That's yesterday, Burijan Prabhu was talking about this. What do we do about these enemies within? How do we deal with them? And there was various, we chant the holy names of Krishna, we take shelter of the holy names. But we have to begin by recognizing them. We have to begin by seeing them. It's so hard. You can't defeat an enemy that you can't see. You have to identify and then, and see how you're feeding those. There's a famous saying in Native American culture about two wolves that live within. You've heard this? Or two dogs, often described. That within all of us there are two dogs, and one is vicious and one is kind. And they're fighting each other. And the question comes, well, who will win this fight? And the answer is the one who's fed, the one you feed. So if we want to conquer the enemies within, we have to feed. We have to stop feeding them, and we have to feed our spiritual seed, this bhakti lata beach, which was also spoken of. We can't water the weeds, we have to water the tree of devotion. So that's the beginning. But then Prabhupada goes on, not caring for the good and bad of this material world, one must boldly propagate Krishna consciousness. So this is the next stage. So we begin, the first courage is to walk in, to start on this path. Secondly, we have to be boldly confronting what we are, the enemies within, by the grace of Krishna. But then we have to go even further. In Murwillumbah, Mukunda Maharaj was giving class, and he drew our attention to Bhagavad Gita 256, which deals similarly from this. The verse itself says, one who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness. So, not disturbed by the modes of passion and ignorance or the mode of goodness, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, those things that we discussed, is called a sage of steady mind. And in this, Prabhupada says that he talks about what a Krishna conscious person is. First of all, he gives credit to the Lord for any comfort that he has. But he says he realized it is due only to the Lord's grace that he is in such a comfortable condition and able to render better service to the Lord. And for the service of the Lord, he is always daring and active and is not influenced by attachment or aversion. So daring, bold. Prabhupada is calling us to be daring and bold. And he himself demonstrated this to such an extraordinary degree. So bold, so daring, to, at so many stages of his life, he exhibits this boldness and daringness. But most of all, to step onto a cargo ship in Calcutta with no money, no contact, no connections, no real strategy or plan how to do things. I mean, he had some ideas. He began when he heard the appeal of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to preach in the West. He made a plan. He had a strategy. He developed a strategy, and his strategy was based on becoming wealthy. Because if he became wealthy through his business, he said, I have money and I can do so many things. But Krishna took it all away. He took everything away. Took his business away, his family, everything. He was, if we look at his situation when he was publishing, how little, nothing he had. Could, one, two sets of cloth. I mean, couldn't afford even to take the bus. He would walk from the train station to where he had to go. So he had nothing, and yet he had such determination and boldness and courage and daring. And he knew, he was not like Teddy Roosevelt's quote, he wasn't concerned, oh, I may fail. Everyone else, his god brothers and so on, they withdrew from this because, how can I can't do this. This is, I can't leave my comfort zone. Even his god brother Sridhar Swami commented like this, that I couldn't do that. I can't, you know, I'm happy where I am. I'm Krishna conscious. I'm doing service, and so I'm happy here. How to do this? To just with such daring and boldness, but he did it. Srila Prabhupada did it, and he encouraged us in the same way. I would suggest that it was when he came to the Lower East Side and met those other daring, bold souls who had confronted the reality of the material world and were willing to often experiment in very risky ways. I wouldn't suggest that they weren't doing all the right things. But still, they had the spirit of revolution, the spirit of taking bold steps towards fulfilling their dreams. I mean, I don't want to get into a history of how we lived in those days, but we lived on the edge, and we lived just in this mood of see what happens. And Prabhupada took that mood, and he combined it with his own boldness and daringness, and he just went for it. And with just a few words, he could inspire. Mukunda Maharaj writes how in 26 Second Avenue, he after being initiated and so on, his idea is he's going to go to India, so he's going to go to San Francisco. And Prabhupada just says, oh, you're going to San Francisco? So you can open a temple there. You can open a center there. So there was just few words. Just, you can open a center there. He empowered, Mukunda took that, met Shyama Sundar, met Gurudas, and the rest is history. Mukunda Maharaj, when he was giving class, related one of the daring episodes, but we are running out of time. I won't go into, you can go and listen to it. He talked about how, and this happens so many times in the devotees, they think, Krishna, if it is your desire, this will all work. And this particular instance, there was a program at the High Commission in London. Ravi Shankar was there, was all to kind of felicitate him. And Mukunda Maharaj describes how he and Shyama Sundar and Gurudas and Jamuna and Malati, and they hopped into their old it was like this jalopy, you know, it was just this pickup truck or something like that, and they approached the gates of the High Commission, and somehow the gates open, somehow they go in, and somehow now they're at the door, and the guard or whatever is there and looking at them, says, who are you, where are you from? And they don't, Mukunda says, they didn't, what were they going to say? They had no real plan. And he just kind of says, we are from the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the man announces, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And they walk in, and Ravi Shankar waves, and they're in. So daring, active, bold. So Prabhupada is calling us all to be bold, to boldly propagate Krishna consciousness, to be bold in our determination to confront all our fears, to confront all the enemies within us, to be bold to surrender, to have courage, to take the narrow path, not the, you know, not to just go with the flow, to be sheeps or lemmings, whatever, just going to the path of destruction, to get out, to exit this flow, to go where the road less traveled, right? And take on boldly the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. So thank you very much. I hope I'm speaking to myself to try to deepen my own understanding, and perhaps you also got something from it. If there are some comments and questions, yes, Bhakta.
You were talking about the 12-step program that is available in the broader community.
Yes.
Yet we see within ISKCON we don't have that facility. And sometimes a person feels that they are on their own dealing with internal difficulties, external difficulties. And yet the scriptures tell us that we should seek someone or consult with someone, yes, about our difficulties and how to overcome them boldly.
Yes.
Can you talk to that a little bit? And is there a future where that can be there for devotees, that they feel confident to be able to expose themselves to someone else?
To be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yes.
To actually heal, because, yes, that's the only way you're going to heal.
Yeah, thank you. Well, first of all, there is an actual bhakti recovery group that for devotees who are really struggling with addiction, any form of addiction. So that's there, and they combine the 12-step program with bhakti yoga. But all of us can benefit from the principles on which the 12-step program is founded. And one of the core principles is sangha, is association. Sangha and within that sangha, the loving exchanges. Srila Prabhupada in the Upadeshamrita talks about how the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it's a society, first of all. We are a society. We're a family. And I have to vouch, my wife and I have traveled quite a lot, and the only way we're able to do this is because we have family everywhere. You know, we are able to stay with our family, and we don't have to rent hotels and so on. All we have to do is, you know, and generally what we do is we find a place that is convenient between going to America because we have service there, and just stop over, and then everything else is there. So we're a family, we're a society, and so we're already one big sangha, but this big, huge sangha that we are may not be as conducive to the kind of loving exchanges that we need in order to address our own inner difficulties and challenges that we have. So therefore, we are encouraged to participate in small sanghas, small groups, to form small groups. I believe in this center there is a program for devotees to have to be engaged in small groups, to meet regularly. And this is, I would suggest, the most powerful way to help each other is to meet together in a smaller group where you get to know each other, because here we are, where, you know, we see each other, perhaps know each other's names, but we don't really get to know each other until we sit down regularly and we are able to interact on a regular basis. And then as that progresses, then the willing to be vulnerable and willing to open up and willing to share at a level that, you know, exposes your problems, that can take place. And so I think that that's the most powerful way to address the need that you're expressing. We also, of course, have Krishna. And we have Srila Prabhupada. And they are with us in our hearts. And we can also, if we find ourselves in with difficulty interacting with our peers, and perhaps difficulty in connecting with a senior devotee for whatever reason, we have Srila Prabhupada and we have Krishna in our hearts, and we can sit down and we can enter into a conversation with them. We can reveal ourselves, and they have the power. They're not dead. They're not, you know, gone. They're not far distant. They're with us, and they do hear, and they can speak to us. Krishna speaks to us, the Acharyas speak to us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all can speak to us. And they'll speak to us. How will they speak to us? They'll speak to us when we open up a book of Srila Prabhupada, and then right there. That's just what we needed to hear. Or we hear, you know, I mean, I can't, I mean, Bhakti, you said this is something I needed to hear. I didn't know you needed to hear it, but Krishna knew you needed to hear it, whatever it was. And so here he used me to say something. And Prabhupada said that. He said, when he was asked, well, how will we hear you? How will we? He said, you'll hear me through the devotees. You'll hear me through the devotees. So we can have that confidence. Yes, we are bold. We should be bold. But what gives us the power to be bold? We got Krishna by our side. Krishna's got our back. We know that's what gives us the courage to enter in. The courage is there because we know that Krishna, and he, how do we know? Because he tells Arjuna, how does he say, to boldly declare. He tells Arjuna, boldly declare this, that I am there. So that is, you know, we can be bold, and we can deal and go forward with courage, because we know Krishna is our most intimate, best friend. And he's there in our hearts. So with that, yes, it's still, we can still be afraid. You know, it's still not easy to open up to others and deal with our problems, even with Krishna, even with Srila Prabhupada or our gurus. It's not easy to say, yeah, I'm failing in these ways, and to ask for help, because we're so conditioned to think that we're everything. Not easy. But we can do it with courage and boldness in the arena that Srila Prabhupada is calling us into, the arena of spreading Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, being in his army with our Senapati Bhakta, our commander-in-chief, Srila Prabhupada. Any other? Yes. I don't know. It's time. I'm not sure. But
Uh, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhu, you mentioned how with the anarthas, we have to first confront them and then deal with them. But I've also heard in lectures, like by practicing Krishna consciousness, gradually anarthas go away. So how do we deal with anarthas? Do we have to like do something in particular, or do we just continue our normal devotional service?
Yes. I remember that a talk by it, I can't remember his name, but he gave a talk at one of the Govardhan retreats, and he made this little graph of Shraddha to Prema. And he talked, particularly was looking at Anartha Nivritti, which is this stage. Okay, so we begin with Shraddha, and then Sarusanga and Bhajana Kriya. So we start with these things, and then that leads us into Anartha Nivritti. We start with these activities, and those activities lead us into the stage of Anartha Nivritti. So in this graph, it was going like this, and then it goes, because at some point we look and we see, oh, look at all these anarthas that I have. Initially, as we practice Krishna consciousness, we're feeling joy and so many wonderful things and freedom. I know that when I began chanting the holy names of Krishna, then I gave up my bad habits like that. It was just, I was smoking, I was doing so many things, and they just went. And it was only after a few years of smoking, fortunately, I never got back a taste for, you know, meat eating or anything like that. But other things, you know, started to, you know, old habitual desires started to come back, and now I have to deal with them, and I'm seeing how rooted they are. These desires for material enjoyment are in my heart. How deep they are. How do I get rid of them? How do they go? So, and when you see that, and when you can get depressed. You can say, you know, what's? And some people do. You know, some devotees they're confronted with the depth of their material attachments and give up the struggle, give up the fight. And then the same thing happens when bad things happen to us, right? When we suffer our results of our karma, and then we some people give up. Some devotees think, oh, you know, I thought that by being Krishna conscious, like you just said, by following these practices and doing these things, then automatically it all gets taken care of. It'll all just go on its own. I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And like a magic wand, it'll just, you know, shoo, and from a Cinderella, I'll become the princess, and my pumpkin will become a chariot, and I'll ride off, and I'll just go on my flower airplane, and I'm back to Godhead. Woo, Hare Bol. Just, you know, my magic formula and the magic wand, the touch of that. Oh, I got the water from the offering. It's on my head. Woo! Now I'm all done, purified, everything finished. I don't have to do anything. No, sorry. Doesn't work like that. No, Krishna wants us to develop pure love. And that has to come from within us. It comes ultimately as we cry. So the way, as we confront these anarthas, yes, we see, I can't, I'm doing, The first thing is we have to stop acting. We have to, the first thing is that, like, anger, is it okay that I, because it's all right. I recall one day, the first thing is to know that we do have some power. Yes, we do not have much power, but we have one power. I would suggest that the only real power that all of us have, we don't have power over our bodies, right? We don't have power over the elements, for sure. We don't even, you know, as I said, not even power over our own hands. Really, that, you know, we, like Burijan was saying yesterday, we think something and then somehow, and sometimes it doesn't. Like, you know, my left hand doesn't work so well because there was something happened. I can't do anything about it. I suggest that our one power is the power of attention. We have the power of where we give our attention. So the first thing is that when these emotions and anarta, you know, these qualities, and I was in hearing this, I was thinking that, you know, we're all these qualities that are being described, these are these subtle elements of this world. They're these subtle qualities. They're not, you know, tables and flowers and so on, but they are real. They're real things that come in. They're produced by the modes of nature. The modes of nature produce envy. They produce hostility and illusion, and all these things are produced, and then they're given to us based on our karma sometimes, or based on our desires. And now, what do we do with them? They'll arise out of certain circumstances, but we have to learn how to stop feeding them. When they arise, we have to recognize them and say, Hare Krishna! And you'll be surprised how they go. But often we don't say Hare Krishna, we say, okay, yeah, I agree. That person did that to me. And yes, that was wrong. And they shouldn't do that. And now how am I going to get back? And how am I going to... What am I going to do to right there? They said the wrong thing. It's based on a false thing. I'm going to get back at them. Let me see. How am I going to do this? Okay, yeah. And our minds and our brains and our hearts can get so absorbed, and we get drawn into this anger, or maybe it's some other, you know, illusion of enjoyment, something that's pulling us in. So if we can see that and say, Hare Krishna, no, they will go. They will go. So that's what I would say, attention. Where Vaisheshika's famous saying, where attention goes, energy flows, right? So don't give it energy. Don't feed these anartas. For the anartas, the weeds and so on, they will die on their own, yes. But only if you stop feeding them. If you keep feeding them, they'll keep growing, unfortunately. Does that answer your question?
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Satita. Yes, before ending, I'm going to make an announcement, a public service announcement for the children of Sri Maya Burdham. My wife and I, we're traveling now to New York, but our home is in Mayapur, and we have a service. Our main service right now is to develop a children's park for the children who live in the Gorn. How many of you have visited Mayapur? Do any of you have some? I know some devotees have purchased properties in Mayapur. Any of you have a property that you have something there? Is it in the Gaur-Nagar area? Sachi
Gardens.
Sachi Gardens, yeah. So that's generally that's that same northern sector of the Mayapur, future Mayapur city, north of the temple, etc. And you know how overdeveloped it is. And you've seen how small, how little space there is. Sachi Garden has a little, you know, some space, and it's not too bad for the residents there. But many of the people living there, they're packed up worse than, I don't know, Calcutta. And there's no place. There's no place for the children to play. So we want to fix that, so we're making a park. And we are accepting donations. So if you're inspired to help us in slides and carousels or whatever it is, it doesn't cost a lot of money, but it's something that we're doing. So I will share how to do this. I don't know how can I share. Through WhatsApp, is there, maybe I can,
and also
yeah, okay, so I'll speak to Anuruddha and ask him if he can, but if you are inspired, and you can come to me or Atita Guna, and we'll give you contact information if you'd like to make a contribution. It'd be very, very helpful. So thank you very, very much. This has been a wonderful visit. We'll be here again tomorrow morning, and then we're leaving for the USA. And we invite you all to come to Mayapur, join us. That's another way to purify yourself of anarthas. There's things that gives it, there's one, like you said, but one of the things is we deal with the anarthas, but we also, the positive things also work. They have their influence. So it's not just the direct action, it's also the indirect action of engaging in devotional service and becoming purified in that way. Gives us strength and power. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Well, if you want to give cash, you can give it to us. Otherwise, I'll send you, if you give me your information, then I'll send you our PayPal. PayPal. Where's my glasses?
This is amazing class for me. Because I always have fear. And this class is for me, I was thinking.
Yes, it's for all of us, I think.
And I, as you told, we shouldn't be feared that fear or these things. Because I think when I chanting as well, I go more inside deeply. So yeah, I learned a lot about we need to fear them.
No, because we have Krishna. And Krishna will take care of it. I just need to find my glass. What happened? Oh, there we are. Okay. So, yeah. Oh, thank you very much. Yes, we spoke yesterday. Oh, thank you. Yes, so the PayPal is children first.
Children
so first, space. Yeah, no space.
Jaya Ram.